Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the Ferris Love Podcast. Today, we're joined by Jordan Langdon, licensed clinical social worker and host of the Families of Character podcast. Jordan is passionate about helping parents create strong, connected families by building routines and habits that support character formation and meaningful relationships. And today, she's here to talk with us about how establishing family routines can actually help us reclaim our quality time with the people that matter the most to us. So, Jordan, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me back.
Yes, we've had you on the show before. You spoke to us about gratitude and kind of fostering that within our families. Tell us a little bit more about Families of Character and what else you speak about and all that.
Yes. Okay. Well, personally speaking, I am married. I've been married for 20 years to my spouse, Josh, and we have three children, ages 18 down to 10. And I've been a licensed clinical social worker for 22 years and am a parent coach. So I've always focused my work on adults and specifically couples who are raising kids. So I joined Families of Character, I don't know, back in like 2019, I think, 2022. Dates are, you know, irrelevant to me sometimes. So, but I've been with the organization for a few years, and I'm really passionate about coaching couples, married couples who are raising kids in small groups. So our mission at Families of Character, really the heart of what we do at Families of Character, is to, number one, save kids from the pain of divorce and help married couples really strengthen their union so that they're not just surviving in their marriage, but they're truly thriving as a unified family. And so I found through my years of private practice that working with people one-on-one is a very slow process of change and improvement. But when you put together small groups of couples who may even have kids at different age ranges and been married for a different number of years, it is very helpful in these couples learning from each other and feeling like they're not alone. And so at Families of Character, that's what I'm doing these days is coaching couples in small groups through our Thriving Family Accelerator.
That's great. Yeah, we had a couple months ago, we had an episode about community and how important that is. And this sounds just right up that alley of how important it is to be able to have your community while going through all these crazy life changes, probably.
Yes, absolutely. Community is so important. That's where we actually learn more about ourselves is in community with others. So it's a beautiful win-win, right? You have friends, but then you come to know yourself more through these friendships with other people.
Yeah. And this month, it's August, and we're talking about back to school and going through all of that. When we talk about routines, why do you think those are so important for our families today?
Oh, that is a great question. Routines are vital in family life. In my opinion, routines are what truly set us free. So people might think routines equal freedom. That doesn't sound like they go together, right? I hear so many parents say, we like to be spontaneous. We like to just pick up and go when we want. And that's how they live their summer life. And so when they're getting back into the school routine, it's like, oh no, the dreaded morning routine, or we have to do earlier bedtimes. But it's really a myth that, just living in the moment means that you're creative and spontaneous and joyful. Mm-hmm. Structure and routine is what gives you the ability to be spontaneous and to be the most creative that you were created to be. And so these morning routines for kids and parents, and then the bedtime routine are just vital to get down. Make sure that you're habituating those same, behaviors each morning and each evening so that you don't really have to think about them, right? Mm-hmm. You just have gotten to the habit of this, and then you're able to free your mind to think about other things. Maybe now, instead of just thinking day to day, like we often do when we're raising kids and they're back into the school year, you can plan out like a month in advance or 2 months in advance, or even consider the next holiday that's coming up and how you would like to spend that and start planning for it. But without routines, parents get bogged down in the day to day, and that's where they get depressed. They get anxious about family life, and there becomes lots of reactions to things versus, you know, slow and steady responses to things.
Mm. And I think when we think of routines, I think adults kind of sometimes already have routines because they go to work, they, you know, have dinner. We have all those things that are already kind of established in our life in order to be successful. But then when it translates to kids, it looks, I mean, I guess we don't probably think, oh, this actually correlates really well with children. So how can routines actually benefit children emotionally and, you know, developmentally?
Yeah. So kids crave structure and routine. There's a study that took place where there was a school, two schools that set up new playgrounds, and one of them put a fence all the way around the playground, and the other one left it wide open into the parking lot and, you know, the yard next door. And they observed children to see how they played, if they played the same or differently, the risks they took, and kind of how they moved about the area. And the children who had the fence around the playground actually played all the way up to the fence with joy and rigor and excitement, and because they felt safe. They felt safe with that boundary. They knew up front what to expect, and so they were able to be free in their play. Mm. And the children at the other playground with no fence, they were quieter about their play. They kind of focused towards the middle of the field. There was some anxiousness about just not having the boundaries in place. And so the same thing goes for our calendar and our daily routine, that emotionally kids need that knowing what's coming next and what to expect in order to be self-regulated in their emotions. And the other thing routines do for kids in their emotional health and psychologically speaking is that it helps them develop executive functioning skills. Mary Grace, this is a skill that many adults, 18 and 19-year-olds, are leaving home without. Oof. And that's the ability to think and plan ahead, to look at a calendar, to see what's coming up in a week or a month or a quarter from now, and to be able to plan for it and be ready and be prepared for whatever they need to do at that time. So structure and routine as early as, you know, toddler age and even infants with sleep routines and things are conditioning your kids to feel safe, have that healthy attachment, and then also to be able to think and plan ahead. So that's what it does for their emotional development. As far as character development, routines are building self-control. This is like the cornerstone of virtue. If you don't have order in your home and in your calendar and in your daily routine, and you're doing what you want when you want to, then it's very difficult to grow in the other virtues of honesty, integrity, gratitude, generosity. And so we really feel like at Families of Character that one of the most important virtues to kind of start developing when you have very young kids, even toddlers, like I said, is this sense of order, that things have a place, that we are on time for things, and that we maintain our bedtime routine in order to maintain good sleep. And then also that we do certain things that we need to do before we do the things that we want to do. And that piece is huge because for kids, because if you condition a child every morning to wake up, get out of their bed, turn around, and make their bed, what you're doing is you're helping them to say no to themselves and their passions and desires for wanting to run down and get a bowl of Lucky Charms or to go turn the TV on and watch some cartoons or something. You're conditioning them to say no to those passions and desires and to say yes to something that's good for them, that is going to set them up on a different trajectory throughout the day to be able to do things that keep order in their lives, right? So that building up that reservoir of self-control in kids through these habits and routines, it helps them when they become teenagers. They're going to need to say no to themselves as teens, right? If they've already been conditioned to say no right away when they wake up in the morning just because they're making their bed, and now they're, you know, five and they're learning that maybe we don't have treats every single day, but we feast on Sunday and we have ice cream Sundays or we have popsicles on Sundays because that's a feast day. Every Sunday is like the resurrection. It's like an Easter, right? That they're able to say no to sweets to 5 and 10 years old. And then when they get in the teenage years and they feel this pressure with relationships and dating and drugs and alcohol, they've already built up those muscles of being able to say no to things that are going to have extremely, I guess, costly consequences to them as they grow older. So I think when you're a mom and you have really little kids, you're not thinking like this doesn't have much weight, making their bed when they're a toddler or teaching them to pick up after themselves. I can do it quicker, more efficiently. I really want to underscore the importance of starting as young as possible with these habits and these routines, because then it also frees up your life as a parent when your kids are more independent, responsible, and taking care of their own things, right?
Yeah, I laughed because I know that's exactly how I was raised. Just a lot. Like, we were emptying the dishwasher at 3, you know? It's like, I mean, not like, not intensely, but putting the forks in the drawer, you know, doing as little things as we possibly could. But that's so fair. I'm curious, you know, if these are all really great ideas, but like, what could be some warning signs that like your routines aren't there and you might need a little bit of a reset?
Yeah, that is a great question. I think one of the most obvious signs that you have maybe dropped off some of your routines or gotten out of the habit of doing things that are good for you is if you notice yourself as an adult nagging and yelling a lot. If you notice yourself being reactive to your spouse or to your kids, then you know, oops, we fell into this, you know, just living for the moment and we're not oriented to time, to our calendar, and maybe the things that we were doing before that were helpful, we just got off track with. So I think those are the big signs, is moodiness from kids. You know, if you notice that they're cranky and crabby or they seem clingy, again, think of the kids out on the playground with the fence or without the fence, right? They're going to feel nervous and upset and just dysregulated in their emotions if they aren't on a routine, especially if they're used to a routine. So those are some warning signs. It's just that irritability, the agitation, the nagging, and then the reactivity. If you notice, oh my gosh, I'm nagging all the time. That's your cue, right? To get back into some of those positive routines.
You've mentioned a few important routines, like your morning routine, waking up, getting the bed made. Do you have any suggestions for parents who like recognize the irritability, recognize that their routines are not there, and so they need to start, they want to start, but they don't know where and how to start? Do you have any suggestions for where and how?
Yes,
how big? Like, do they go all in or do they just, you know?
Yes, I have a very strong opinion about this. I'm glad you asked, because I feel very strongly about the bedtime routine. I've coached hundreds of couples over my 22 years. And one of the biggest problems that ripples through the entire family is a lack of bedtime routine. And if you think about it, it makes sense. If you are, you know, burning the candle at both ends. You're getting home from sports practices really late, or you just can't help yourself. The sun's out, it's summertime, and you want to allow the kids to play in the backyard until 9:30. And then everybody's just like dragging themselves across the finish line, right, to get to bed at night. It reduces the number of hours that your kids are sleeping, right? It reduces the amount of time you have as a couple. If you are, you know, out of sync with your kids, trying to put everybody to bed at different times and things, usually it disrupts the goal that a lot of parents have, which is to pray with their kids together, right? When kids are flopping on the ground, they are absolutely overtired and they're kind of burning out and having some of those, what looks like a temper tantrum, but it's just really their brain is so overstimulated from being awake for so many hours that they just melt down. Mm-hmm. And then you're having reactions to that. That just affects everything the following day too. So if you could start anywhere, I would say start with a bedtime routine and pour your resources, your time and energy into it as a united team, as a couple. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example, a story of a couple that I've been working with, and they have 5 kids. And the husband said to me, I don't know when my wife has slept a full night, number one, in our bed, and number two, just period, in the last probably 6 years. And she agreed with bags under her eyes, like, no, I have not slept. Like, what is that? I don't even remember what it's like to have a full night's sleep because I'm usually in someone else's bed or someone else is coming in our bed because we're putting kids to bed at all different times of the night, partially because of their age difference, but also just because we just haven't prioritized, you know, kind of one bedtime where we put everybody down and really come up with a good strategy for how to leave the room and keep kids in their rooms and in their beds for the whole night. And so I connected them with a resource here in Denver, which I love. It's called Rockabye Rockies. Mm-hmm. And they had like one consultation with this group, and they just gave them some really pointed advice on how to set up that bedtime routine for kids of different ages. And then really encouraged dad to lead bedtime. And they came back and she is like glowing. She's like, I have slept all night for 4 nights in the bed with my husband. And he is like, can get him down in like 2 minutes. And it would take her 45 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's something different too about the mom dad dynamic that dads can really use that for the benefit of the whole family to come in and just gently, you know, kind of direct the kids on what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do every night, and then stay with it each night, just that consistency. So that's where couples have really found a lot of, again, freedom in their own evening routine, and then freedom the next day and peace with their kids because of a healthy bedtime routine and good 10, 12 hours of sleep for their kids every night.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned that story too about the dad taking over, because I think, you know, people can sometimes assume just, oh, it's, you know, mom gets the bedtime routine going, but it also brings out the best in the dad and the mom, both sides, because they're both helping each other out. How do you see it taking also bringing the best out of the kids? Do you have ever experienced that with any of your parents? Like if they're consistent with their routines, the best of their children are coming out of, you know, out of it all.
Oh, totally. I would say even with my own kids, I noticed when we got them on a really healthy bedtime routine and consistent sleep through the night, which sometimes requires like, you know, the fan noise in the background or some lavender in the, you know, essential oils going or something, or their favorite blanket or whatever. You kind of have to figure that out. But what I noticed with our kids, once they started getting adequate sleep and staying in the rooms and setting their own alarms and getting up on their own alarms without us having to wake them up, is number one, increased confidence. It's like, I'm doing this. I'm a big girl. I'm a big boy. I'm staying in my room all night and I'm waking up feeling refreshed. I am hearing my alarm clock and getting up and turning it off and then turning around and making my bed. So just that sense of leveling up. And then also what I've noticed, Mary Grace, this is crazy, but their imagination and their creative play is just blossoms when they have adequate sleep and they're in a good routine. Because I think we just underestimate sleep deprivation and how it just leaves all this fragmented attention in our minds. And it just leaves us feeling foggy. And so once they're getting good sleep and they're in these routines, it's like they're building things. They're putting things together. They're thinking of fun new games to play in the backyard, where before it was just the moodiness, the, you know, just feeling tired and having no energy just left no space for them to access that creative part of their brain.
That's great. And especially in the summertime, do you encourage those same, you mentioned it, like staying up late until 9:30 when the sun goes down, it's tempting in the summer, but also if you keep up your routines, you know, that might help in the long run, just being able to, encourage that creativity in the midst of the summer. How would you recommend parents getting, like, cause these are all routines that I would say the parents probably might establish, you know, in that helps them with their own relationship and then helping the children in the midst of bedtime. Do you recommend, and how would you recommend kids getting involved in kind of establishing these routines? You mentioned, you know, the alarm clock, that was helpful that your kids were able to get up on their own. So they could take ownership of that. Are there any other ways that they can do that as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, just identifying some of the next level activities that they could be ready for. You mentioned like unloading the dishwasher when they're three. That's a beautiful thing, like age appropriate responsibilities, and then just giving them that job, right? And then positive praise. I always teach our coaching clients that you want to ignore things that you just really don't want to recur, you know, and praise the progress. We're not going for perfection in these routines and these habits, but with kids, they desperately want to please us. They want to be noticed when they do something right. And so, you know, evening time, you're having dinner, you can involve the kids in, hey, Monday nights, you clean up the table and you load the dishwasher. You know, Tuesday night is your night, Joey. And, and then praise that, like, man, you, number one, you remember that it was your night. Number two, I noticed like you took time to wash the stuff off the dishes before you actually loaded them in the dishwasher. And that's really helpful. You know, that makes someone else's job easier the next morning. So praising progress. The other thing we do is we have a routine that we do every week, and we've been doing it for, let's see, 6 years. Every Sunday, we do a weekly family huddle. And that is a way to get your kids involved in routines and habits, because our kids are part of that huddle. And we review the calendar for the upcoming week all together. So we put our calendar up on, we have a Google calendar that my husband and I share and add things to, with the kids' activities and sports and school activities and all of that. And so we just hook that up to our TV in our living room so the kids can see it just in a 1 week snapshot. And then we go through day by day, and the kids talk about like, oh, I've got wrestling practice on Thursday. That means, let's see, when I get home from school, I'm going to grab a snack, get my wrestling shoes, pack my bag, make sure I have my headgear and a water bottle. And so they're thinking through, again, those executive functioning skills, what they need to do to be prepared for something that's coming in 4 or 5 days. And so you get in the habit of doing that every single Sunday. It helps them prepare for the week. It helps them understand that for the rest of their lives, they're going to be living by a calendar. And so if they can learn how to navigate the calendar, work together as a team to figure out how to solve problems in the family calendar. One time, my husband and I were like, well, Annie, you have gymnastics, and Parker, you're going to be gone at a school event, and Lincoln, you need to be at wrestling. That's three people that need to go different places, and there's only two of us. So which one of you wants to, you know, forego your activity? And our, you know, 10-year-old at that time, he said, well, Mom, wait, what about if we ask Mrs. Honberrier? She could drive, pick me up from school and take me to wrestling. And I'm like, I didn't even think of that. So when they pitch in ideas for solving the problems of the family calendar and the activities and events, they feel like they have a stake in the game, that they are true players on the team. And that just elevates their courage and their confidence and that sense of family unity. So we are all about the family huddle at Families of Character. And that is just a part of everything we do with our coaching, is helping couples set that foundational routine and keep it going for years.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I love that. And that weekly, it's weekly. So you've been doing it for 6 years for weekly.
Yes. That's over 300 family huddles, Mary Grace. This is so awesome.
I love that.
And it's crazy because when you miss one, because it's Memorial Day weekend, or, you know, you're on a vacation. We were on a cruise one time and our kids were like, you know, my husband and I are laying in the sun, you know, on the deck. And they said, are we going to have a family huddle tomorrow, Sunday? And we're like, what do we need to huddle up for? Yeah. We know exactly what we're going to be doing for the next week. We're going to be right here.
Yeah.
But then we both kind of made eye contact, Josh and I, and we went, they're asking for it. We're going to do it. So we went back to our room, you know, and the next day we had a family huddle in our little stateroom. And they needed it because they said, well, we want to already be thinking about, like, at the end of this vacation, once we land back in Denver, what do we have on our calendar then? Because we just want to sort of get in our minds what to be ready for. Are we going off to a camp? Are we going to be home for a couple of days? We can plan to just let our hair down and relax.
Yeah.
And so they really become accustomed to doing this. It's so helpful because they have order in their life. And they know where they're going and what they're supposed to do, that when you miss one, it really kind of throws you back into the chaos you were living in before you started these. And it's like, oh, we don't want to live there anymore. This is such a better way.
Yeah. And your kids are, you said 10 and how old? 10 and 13?
10, 13 and 18.
Yeah. And they want that. That's amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Go ask another 13-year-old. Like if they, you know, would think of even doing that. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great.
What would you recommend to parents who say, oh, okay, I like, this sounds great, Jordan, but really I have no time to do this. Like we have our activities during the week, but we also have sporting events on the weekends and, you know, people have church on Sundays and all those things. Like there's no way we can fit this in. How would you go about recommending it?
Yeah. Sometimes I think my answer can feel kind of harsh, but I'm at a phase of my life in my mid 40s where I feel like I wish somebody would have been more direct with me and I would have started this much earlier. So I would say, guess what? We all have the same amount of time in a day, 24 hours, you know, and we're all busy. So your busy isn't that unique. It's about prioritization. You know, what do we think should be a priority? What are the critical few things that are going to unify our family, bring peace back to our home, and give us some order back in our lives so we can reconnect as a couple, get our marriage back online and date each other while we're raising these kids and have some fun in our lives? Well, that's where you prioritize things like the family huddle, because that sets you free, right? Mm-hmm. It's back to that. Discipline equals freedom. So if you block out 1 hour every Sunday and stack that new habit with a habit you already have, let's say you go to church on Sundays at the same time every Sunday, you come home, have brunch, make sure people have food in their bellies, right? Maybe change out of your church clothes and then go right into a family huddle to get you set up for the week. You will find time back in your days because of this one simple routine on Sundays. So you got to kind of trust people who have done this before. And I am definitely trustworthy because we've tried all kinds of different times and different days of the week to have huddles. And Sunday is just the ultimate best for people in our coaching community and for us. So I would just say, trust that the family huddle is going to give you time back in your schedule and free up your ability to do something spontaneous that you otherwise weren't able to do because you were so bogged down without being able to see the big picture of your calendar.
Yeah, that's great. And it provides confidence to you as parents and just, yeah, I know I love that idea. My husband and I have both talked about having our family meetings, even though we're waiting, you know, on our first, but we're like, we need to figure this out because even though it's just us two right now, life hits you fast. And so you got to figure it out now.
It does. And I even teach this to retired couples whose kids are already out of the house, because mm-hmm. if you think about that in retired life, you're kind of, you can be two ships passing in the night for different reasons, right? He takes mm-hmm. up golf, she takes up pickleball, and now all of a sudden, and we're volunteering at the churches and different ministries or whatever, and getting together on Sunday and saying, hey, what do you have going on? Here's what I have going on. Look at this. There's some white space on our calendar. That means we don't mm-hmm. have anything scheduled. Let's schedule something that brings us together. Let's go to breakfast or let's go on a walk or make a plan to go see our kids this weekend, because after all, we don't have anything planned right there. Mm-hmm. And so it helps anyone to really do a weekly review of the calendar and plan intentional time to do fun things and unifying things together.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. This is awesome. Thank you so much, Jordan, for sharing all of your expertise in this realm of routines and, you know, building up our children with character through these routines. Where can our listeners kind of find a little bit more about what you do with your family, Thriving Family Accelerator with Families of Character? Just go ahead and share with us a little bit about, where we can find you.
Yeah. The best place to go is our website. So it's familiesofcharacter.com. People will say family of characters. No, we are a family of characters. That is true, it's familiesofcharacter.com. And right there on our homepage, you can put your name and email address in and you'll get a deliverable in your email inbox. That is a little guide to start your family huddle. And that's a free guide. So be sure to download our free huddle guide. We also have a little bit more robust resource for parents who are listening or like, I want to get this started like now. We have our digital huddle bundle. And in that digital huddle bundle, there's a few short videos to talk more about the huddle. And then there are downloadables, like a little agenda for your family huddle, and then printable calendars for your kids so that they can write down their routines every week during your huddle. Just resources that you don't want to have to put together yourself, we've put together for you. And then we're also on the socials. So YouTube, we have our podcast that you mentioned. We drop new episodes every Tuesday, and the video form is on YouTube, and then Apple and Spotify and anywhere else you get podcasts. And then, of course, we're on Facebook and Instagram for the time being. So check us out on the socials too.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. And all those printables and things save you time.
Yes. That's right.
That's great. So thanks again, Jordan, for being on our show. We're so happy to have had you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Mary Grace.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.